This Done Needs More Games, where we create the latest and greatest market-ready board games straight from our brains into your household. I'm your co-host and co-creator, Nick Bruno.
And I'm your other co-host and co-creator, DJ Bruno.
Alright, so, how is
another
day
at the office. Oh, yeah. My day?
Yeah.
My day's pretty good. We are, at the time of recording, under a tornado warning, so who's to say what's going to happen?
This could be the final episode, everybody.
This is it. Three episodes in, three episodes down, you know, and that's it. That's the whole legacy of Patch Potch right there.
Everyone will be talking about the Patch Potch trilogy and which one was their favorite.
Why their favorite characters.
Yeah, favorite characters, why the second one, you know, kind of got off the rails, but they, and you know, hopefully they'll be saying that they really got it together by the last one, you know, that it was
got
the greatest
back to
in the trilogy.
Roots.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Really took it in and got it done. So, you know.
Yeah. I was hoping to make as many of these as there are as Fast and Furious. So we'll see if there's, you know, if weather permitting that we'll have time to do that. Who's to say? Maybe next time that we record these things, there could be a volcano warning.
How many Fast and Furious are there? Because I know they just made, as the time of recording, or at least as of this time, Fast 9, but it is not the ninth in the Fastiverse.
Is it not? Wait, really?
No. Okay.
I think yeah, there was supposed to be a 10. I think, isn't it this one 10 or something?
Well, so just based off of the fact that there is not only Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift, Hobbs and Shaw,
yeah, but spinoff movies, like, you don't count Fantastic Beasts and Where You Get Them as, like, part of a Harry Potter movie, you know? I don't know if you can count Hobbs and Shaw.
But it is still the Potterverse, is it not? It's Hobbs and Shaw are...
I see. How many Fast and Furious in their universe are there? Okay, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Because even Tokyo Drift, while it is called Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift, I mean, granted, certain members of the family do show up, but it's not even about most of them. It's only about, like, I think one connection that someone has in Tokyo, and that's it.
It's been a while since I've seen that movie. I just know there's a lot of sexy Japanese boys in that one, and that's all I can really remember.
Well, it's probably the most important detail if you're going to take anything away from that movie. Yeah. I will say, the coolest part, this is a genuine, no goofs here, genuine praise for the movie is the drifting, because obviously someone had to do it, the stunt person had to do it, but when they drift down the parking garage ramp, because the car can only, I mean, if you do it wrong, you're going to get wedged, or you're going to hit a side and stop and look like an idiot or whatever, but they drift all the way down a ramp in a parking lot, and it was really cool to watch, and it was some genuine awesome driving.
Tokyo parking lot drift,
it's a really cool scene. I'm telling you, you should check it out.
All right,
if you haven't seen it, at least
I have seen it. Don't remember anything. I will definitely look that one up after this recording, if there's still a house where I live and it's not blown away by a tornado.
Well, you know, If now you know that if push does come to shove, go to a parking garage. I think there's nothing safer than the wide open hollowness of it.
Well, things like made of like straight concrete, so imagine those things are pretty sturdy.
You know what? At first, that was again just another stupid goof. But check this out: what if you went into the parking garage, Tokyo drifted it, and you started drifting at the same rotation of a tornado? They couldn't get you then, because the only way that a tornado can pick you up, and this is 100% science, is that if it scoops you up in with its wind or whatever, so if you're just spinning along with it, it can't scoop you up.
Okay, so that's a good thing to do, but if I also wanted to be like a hero as well, if I drifted in the counter rotation of the tornado so hard that it stopped the wind from actually blowing, and, like, I spun around so hard so that, like, the wind that I generated just kind of pushed the other one, like, in the opposite direction, I could stop the tornado with a Tokyo Drift.
Oh, so now we're getting into some, like, Superman logic. Yeah. Reversing the spin of the tornado with your counter spin.
Mm-hmm. And then I would be able to effectively just render it useless, because then at that point it wouldn't be spinning wind, it would just be regular wind, and that would be that.
It'd be car wind. Some real horsepower.
Wind plus the wind equals regular wind.
Or would it be like a vacuum? Because there would be no wind.
Oh, shoot. Well, no, it wouldn't be taking the wind away. It would be adding more wind, but just to like a counter pressure of the wind that is already there. It's like a, you know, you take a top, and if you were to like just suddenly spin it the other way, it would just stop. I believe that's how that works.
So that makes sense. The absence of wind is not a vacuum, because it's not like you're sucking the air out of it.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't do that. Not to my car. Not to my Subaru Crosstrek.
Not to this beautiful Roo.
Yeah, well, that's about how my day's going. Should we get into some games?
Yeah, let's do it. So checking out R&D. A couple of suggestions, but okay, here we go. Here's another one. A little bit of a premise, and I have, at least for me, two potential directions that this can go in my mind.
Okay.
Sky's the limit, but this was just what I shot to.
Okay.
Here's the title. Charcuteries. A charcuterie-based board game.
Okay, but there's, like, sharks involved, too.
No. So spelled C-H-A-R hyphen cutie... C-U-T-I-E hyphen. Now, I like that you said shark cutie rees.
Shark cutie. Now,
shark cutie rees. So maybe, okay. If we're going that way, shark cutie rees. I don't know what the R-E-E-S is yet, but...
Well, they don't all have to be, you know, part of... You don't all have to be a pun, you know? It could just be the...
True.
The defining factor on this is clearly supposed to be charcuterie.
Yeah. Now the cuties, which is what the players will be as, are, you know, they're the various characters, I guess, that you as players can pick up. You know, you can get your salami, you can get your pastrami, you can get your turkey, cheese, various cheese cubes, grapes, carrots, you know.
Are they
all
like
of the
cute
above.
Looking like,
oh yeah,
okay, so they're like Lisa Frank pieces of salami.
Yeah, I'm almost saying, well, I like that, very colorful, very vibrant, but
a vibrant piece of salami,
a vibrant piece of salami, but push it even further, at least a little bit, into anime. So they're anthropomorphic, you know, they got arms and legs, eyes, heart, soul, hopes and desires. And this is where the game can really take two turns. And I'm going to say that I am in favor of one way. Now, the cuties either have a desire to be eaten, as is this is the point of the game, is to assemble enough cuties to that you have a presentable charcuterie, and then it is eaten or whatever, and then I guess you would make another. Or the cuties, in fact, do not wish to be eaten, akin to, like, the movie Sausage Party, and that while they are very cute, their life is in fact quite a hell, as they are food and will be devoured.
Yeah, they value their lives. When that would make more sense if it were to go that direction, because then that's where the shark part comes in, and the sharks, say, are trying to eat these cuties.
Okay, now here's the big question now. Are the players on the side of the shark or on the other side of the cuties?
I mean, we can have, like teams of both. We can have, like, a team of sharks. We can have some people who are the cuties. I was thinking in my head, you know, wouldn't it be just fun if instead of actual sharks, because I've been watching a lot of Shark Tank, we got people, like, people can play as Mark Cuban, or people can play as Mr. Wonderful. And those are the sharks, because they're fancy business people and they love charcuterie. So now, it's... Mm-hmm.
No, I love this. All I was going to say is that I don't think we're going to be able to get those names, so we should very much avoid using those for the rest of the episode, just in case they do come after us. And so we'll call them Bark Haitian and I don't watch Shark Tank, but you know, we got to use off-brand, semi-akin characters in our cutieverse.
Got it. Okay, so we cannot license the... Well, let's... Yeah, we'll use these off-brand ones. Maybe we can get this in front of them at some point and just pitch this to them, because they love sales pitches, if I know anything about it. But I agree. We can use... Mr. Cuban, we can just call him Shark. Shark Rubin, you know?
Shark Rubin!
It's also on the turn... along the lines of meat-based gameplay... And a shark.
Yeah. Okay. So now you've introduced another aspect.
Mr. Wonder Bread. Although that's another licensed thing. Dang it.
But I think Wonder Bread would be more willing to team up with us rather than the people over at Shark Tank.
Okay. Okay. We'll keep those options open. There's a lot of, this is going to be a huge merger between different brands. We've got food brands, we've got TV personalities, and then we've got some adorable Lisa Frank anime style.
Yeah.
This is a huge, I love this board game already, just on paper. All these different heads coming together.
With this much branding, the game basically sells itself.
Yeah, we don't even need to come up with the gameplay. It's just, here's a bunch of cards, here's a board. Look at all how fantastic they all look together.
Perfect. But, okay.
But I guess we could come up with a gameplay.
I was going to say, you know, as much as I would love to sell a box of random assorted pictures to people and just say, here's your board game.
Check all this stuff out. You can put them in different orders, and they look different together.
See those numbers on there? They don't actually mean anything.
They absolutely nothing.
They don't do anything, but they're there.
You can make up your own board game with these fantastic pictures.
Ooh. Okay. Now, just like a charcuterie that you put the pieces together, is this game going to have variable rules based off of what things you pick out of it?
Ooh. That's a good idea.
Is it charcuteries all the way down?
All the way to the bottom floor. Yeah. No, this is... Okay, so you've got your cuties. Okay, I'll just separate it into that. So you've got your cuties, and you can assemble them into like a charcuterie board any way that you want to. Can we say the actual board is like a wooden plank that you would serve charcuterie on?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. 100%. Okay.
I'm not sure what else goes on the board, but it is like most of the box is actually a thick charcuterie board. This board game costs somewhere around like $80, and 60 of it is just the board that you could actually use as charcuterie board.
A very well-made, glossy, just based off of production, piece of mahogany wood. Actually, I don't know if mahogany wood is still allowed to be used. I just know that it's expensive. Maybe it's because it's not allowed to be used.
Is it not allowed? Wait, I didn't know this fact. What's going on with mahogany?
I might just be mahogany. Oh, wow. Mahogany charcuterie board? Thank you, computer, for listening to me. Oh, no. Okay. Never mind. Maybe I'm thinking of a different wood.
Thank you, Mark Zuckerberg.
Yes. Maybe I'm just thinking of a different wood that is not... It's not cool to use because it's not... What's the word? Renewable? No.
Well, it's people not... hate non-renewable things these days.
It's something... I mean,
as they should.
It's something about eating up all the water because it requires a lot of water. So when you farm it, it's bad.
It's like one of the almond crisis kind of thing, how like each almond takes like 8 gallons of water to make.
I think so.
Like everyone ordering their almond milk lattes are just like destroying the world.
So let's just
think about that.
Let's pass the savings on to our players and let's just go out back. We'll bust up some pallet wood and we'll use that as our charcuterie board.
There will be splinters in it. You got to be real careful.
There might be some nails in it too, but again, those savings are going to be passed directly onto our consumers.
We just dropped this down from $80 to like back down to 20.
Yeah, easy. Oh, maybe that's part of the mystery patch, is that some of them is just pallet wood. Maybe one in every 20 games, much like a charcuterie all the way down. Some of them you get mahogany wood. Some of them you get nice oak.
And then one of them is made of ivory, which you know is like definitely illegal.
Yeah.
And you're like, shoot, how did I get this? I'm in trouble now. I have to hide this board. No one can play on this board game.
The police are coming after you if you buy that game.
Yeah. You might get an illegal copy that we will send you. Okay, well, this is great. I love all the discussion of the board. And I think that's we landed on a pretty good Russian roulette style of what you may or may not get.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so cuties, sharks, and I already forgot the third thing.
Well, I don't think we really came up with a third area. We just, thus far, we have the sharks. That will be one team in our game, and probably various shark cards. You know, they have different abilities, I assume. I mean, just to right off the bat, Shark Reuben, he's going to enjoy, you know, your rye breads. Or is it sourdough that Reubens typically are?
I forget. It's on sourdough.
Yeah. He's gonna like your sourdough. He's gonna like your roast beef.
Your Swiss cheese.
You'll get extra points when you serve Shark Reuben, the components of a Reuben.
Okay.
So I think the various sharks have their own preferences and maybe things they dislike, but maybe the dislikes, that's part of the charcuterie rules aspect. The dislikes of the sharks changes every game. It's randomized based off of, I don't know, some tiles or whatever that you pick when you're getting your shark.
Okay. So there's some things that come like as a staple with each shark, but then you also pick up something that's going to be like this round, this is what Shark Reuben wants to eat. Like, or is it round by round, or are you saying game by game?
I think game by game. I think game by game, you know, yeah, this game, oh, Shark Reuben. Well, so yeah, again, Shark Reuben, he's going to have his staples. Every shark has their staples that are non-variable. And then, yeah, and then maybe you pick up some likes. Maybe Shark Reuben this game, he wants to accompany that Reuben with some grapes on the side, but you better not give him carrots, or he's going to throw your cuties away.
Swear to God.
Yeah.
Well, so I think, well, what if there's also something like that is also round by round that, you know, he satiates his appetite by, well, you know, you get some grapes in him and he's like, that's fine. That's all the grapes that I wanted. And now I want to eat something different, you know? There should be stuff that like you're saying, legacy style, where it's every single game is different, but each round should have a varying one. If you successfully feed your shark the kind of foods that they need, then it they changes. Should also, yeah, it should change then. Yeah.
Okay. I like that. Now, what is the objective of the cuties? Or if you're on that team, or again, we could just make it like a Hungry Hungry Hippos style game where everyone only plays as the sharks and you're just trying, or at least you play as a character and everyone gets a different shark to appease to every game, and it's just, you know, every man for himself, every person for itself, they just
every,
you know,
shark
every, that's true, you know what, I should be speaking in terms of the game, every shark for themselves. Mm-hmm.
There's probably, yeah, I think that's actually probably better. I don't really can't think of a way that you would be able to play as the cuties that would be necessarily fun for them. Like, there's nothing in my mind. They should still be living and breathing things just because they are the cuties of this world.
You should feel bad about eating these cuties. That's the point.
As the player, you should feel bad. As the shark, you should feel no remorse.
No. No way. Now, okay. So, I do like this. I like that we're only doing the sharks, but I do think that, again, with the variability, the changing games every single time, obviously your objective is to present your shark, or who knows, maybe even the shark that you're assigned to changes every round. So maybe this round I have Shark Cuban, but then maybe next time I have, you know, Hammerhead Jones or something. Mm-hmm. I've never watched Shark Tank. I'm just going to start throwing out shark names.
Yeah. Well, you know, at this point we can kind of just ditch the whole Shark Tank kind of thing. I do think there should be one named Shark Reuben, but yeah, Hammerhead
Jones
can also
be. Shark Reuben is too good not to use.
Yeah. Yeah. We're taking that one. So okay. You get a shark then, and once they've eaten so much, so round after round you keep filling up their little gullet, and once they're completely full, then you get a new shark to feed cuties.
Now, I was almost thinking that, so if you and I are playing the game, my first shark is Shark Reuben. You okay. draw Hammerhead Jones. Shark Reuben okay. loves all the things of, all the components of a Reuben, and then I draw my variable like and my variable dislike, and I have to try and build my cutie board based off of those things. You have Hammerhead Jones. Hammerhead Jones, as we all know, loves rye bread. He loves marbled cheeses, very hardened things. Mm-hmm. He
and
loves
the gabagool.
The gabagool, dry crackers, just cause. And those are the things that you are trying to get. However many rounds or however you play it, no matter what, at a certain point, you have to present. Everyone presents the sharks with their cutie boards, and you score based off of what you get or what you don't get, and then we rotate sharks.
You rotate them?
So you would
likes
get...
and dislikes rotate?
Well, no. So after they have been fed for the round, you get Shark Reuben and his key things, and then, yes, like you said, he gets new variable likes, new variable dislikes, and then I get Hammerhead Jones with new variable likes and new variable dislikes to keep it. Every single round, you have a new shark that you're trying to appease.
Okay. I mean, that can happen, but here's one little question that I have. So, like, a charcuterie board, you think of that, and that's, like, kind of a sharing plate. Mm. I was more along the lines of that everyone builds out one shared plate, and there's only so much room
yes.
that you can
yes.
put all the cuties on there. So
yes.
you can put whatever you like, and it's gonna you want to try to put, you know, the foods that will appease your shark. And then when, say, it's like feeding time, then everyone can take a turn to grab the things that they want. And you can, like, try to block someone. And even though you know your shark doesn't like whatever's down on the board, you can take something away if you know it's gonna, like, give another player extra points if they eat the gabagool. Which
this
actually, now
amazing.
That I say it, I think the gabagool should be something that's, like, the best of the best, and, like, any shark will eat that, and that's just kind of, like, the primo meat that you want to get. There should still be likes and dislikes, but I'm pitching an idea that there is one thing out there. It's kind of like getting the star power in Mario Kart. It's just, like, good no matter what.
I think that is fantastic, but, okay, so I love this. I love this is this whole new vein. You're not building your own charcuterie board. Everyone is contributing to this charcuterie board, and once it is full, that is when the feeding phase starts.
Yeah.
I think that yes, 100%, but you get to take, or your shark takes whatever you give it and get. So if you want to grab things that are beneficial to you, if you want to grab things that are whatever for you, but the fact that you're trying to block someone from getting something beneficial, I think for that reason, the likes and dislikes, the variable ones, are unknown until, like, a scoring round. So you only, if you have Shark Reuben, I know that if there's, you know, sourdough on the board, I might want to grab that to stop you from getting it. But who knows if you have a different variable, like let's say you've been playing, you know, you played a carrot card and then it got removed, and then you were like, oh, okay, well, you know what, I have this other one, I'm going to throw another carrot card. If you're, like, trying to spam carrot cards, I'm like, oh, maybe one of his likes is carrots, so I'm going to take it to try and
Ooh.
Thwart you. So,
yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, I think...
Throw a little deception in there in terms of, like, so, okay, the likes and dislikes are secret, and only you know what they like and dislike. Ooh, and then
exactly.
when you pass them along, you get those likes and dislikes, and you can see, like, oh, dang, I do, like, I see actually that... he does actually like this thing, or, like, he doesn't actually like it. So more information is getting spread around as you're going along, or, like, other players then know. Like, if I gave you Shark Reuben then, and I know that he likes these things, then it's like, now I know not to put those things down because you got Shark Reuben, and so on and so forth.
Oh, yeah. So your the shark that you have, yes, 100% love it. The shark that you have, the variable likes and dislikes are secret until scoring time. So, yeah. You prepare the plate, everyone takes turns grabbing something off of the plate, and then you reveal, you know, what which combinations you had, so that everyone mm-hmm. can score, see how the round went, and then mix them all up and deal it out again. Play over however many rounds, score however many points, end a game, bing, bang, boom, I love it.
That's it. This is starting to sound like a real board game.
You mean, I mean, as opposed to our other board games that aren't?
Well, you know, as opposed to, this is starting to sound like we can just take this one straight to production, you know, because I know after we send these things off to Miss Dunn, there's a little bit more workshopping to get all the kinks worked out. But, you know, this one is straight and ready to go. No more work needed on Shark Cutie-ry?
Yeah, so that was actually going to be my last question. What are we doing with that re? Are we throwing it off? Are we...
Well, we should shark... keep it.
Could it... I get that it is the pivotal last syllable of charcuterie, but, like, what if it was just shark cuties?
I mean, that could still work, I suppose, but then it's not as clear until you open up the box and you're like, oh, this is a charcuterie board game.
True.
So it's just shark cuties. Shark cuties, that can mean a lot of things. I think we just had the re on there just for, you know, for no reason, really.
All right, that's fine. Hey, it makes the game make sense. I just want to make sure that the addition of it didn't detract from the other two amazing words that we have at the beginning of
amazing of our title. Word like shark. Gotta love that word.
Shark cutie. It's fantastic. It's a really good combination.
I think so. Well, I guess, you know, boy, we really just plowed through this one real quickly. We're getting too good at our jobs here. We can try to figure out who goes first then.
We can do that. Do we want to try to get in there and see? Because I feel like the only variable thing. So we have the cards.
Sure.
I assume that are going to be the cuties. Do we want to add another set of variants? Here's an idea that I actually got from another game that I will. I guess I'll give praise to it because why not? I like to spread awareness of board games and such. But it's called Rising Sun.
Okay.
And in there are cards in it, and you play over various rounds, and there are different seasons. But the coolest part about it is that there is a set of base game cards that are always going to be in every single season. But then every season also has cards with various symbols on the back of the cards. So it's like, okay, hey, this game, let's play with the horseman symbol or whatever. So like for our game, we'll have various cards that, like, there'll be the base set that you play with every single game, but then, okay, hey, how about this time we play with the Italian inspired charcuterie one? Oh, maybe this time we play with the French symbol. And not that I'm saying that the
flavors foods... around the world
exactly, but the I'm just saying those because those are, I guess, just cuisine terms. I mean, heck, we could even do shark terms. But what is included in those are not necessarily just the naming convention. It is just a way to group those cards together that, who knows, maybe, and I do like the idea of more shark, fin, tail, and dorsal fin. Easy.
Wait, for stuff to, like, these are the seasons?
But there are additional cards that you pick. So at the beginning of the game, you have the base set, and that's going to be your bread and butter.
Okay.
More puns, but that's going to be your basic cards. That's going to be included in every single game. But then let's say this time we play with the tail set of cards, and in the tail set, maybe there's more meat cards. Maybe there's more cheese cards. Maybe there's some certain sauces that are included change the board or change the flavor profile. And based off of that, you can kind of, like, maybe one card that you can put down on the charcuterie board is, like, paprika. And so any meat that's on the board at the time of playing paprika becomes spiced. And if you're a shark that's like that likes peppered meat, then, you know, bing bang boom, you're in the gold. But if you want some, you know, regular old turkey, then you're gonna be a disappointed shark.
Well, I don't think turkey would go on a charcuterie board, but I do understand what you're saying. So each time that you play it, I mean, it sounds like you're getting into, like, the expansion pack territory where we can just release, like, a ton of these different other, like, bonus packs then as well. You got exactly. like the flipper pack. You got the teeth pack, or you know, or gills or something, whatever.
Oh, gills 100%.
Gills. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. That sounds good. So each one of those ones, could you combine them into making like a big one? Could you have like say the flipper and the gills pack together, or is it just like, you know, standalone one per game?
That would come down to mechanics, I feel like, because I feel like if you start adding more and more cards that cause these augmentations, then it could make the game that much more.
It's too much tricky to keep up with.
Yeah, tricky in okay. terms of the way that rules work, because I'm just imagining that, again, another thing is that, so one at a time, people pick, like maybe on your turn, you can pick to add to the board or like cover up a card on the board, or maybe even like just remove a card. So maybe your card got covered last turn, so you get to remove it and discard it or something like that until the full board is built and you, as you know, the shark feeder, are trying to get, again, obviously the foods presented on the board that your shark wants. So that mechanic I mean, I don't know. Do you want to try and land on what an exact turn order looks like?
Yeah, we could. I mean, it should be just, like, you know, pretty straightforward. You know, you get your shark, you then have, like, I'd say that you have, like, 7 or so cards in your hand, and you know that you can only, and say the board is only big enough for, like, I'd say, I don't know how much, like, 15 pieces, and in a game of, like, 4 people, you know that you're not going to be able to get all those things on there. I'd say that maybe you can do things like in between the placing round itself. Maybe you can, instead of putting some food down there, you can skip someone else's turn, or yeah, like you said, remove a piece of cheese from the board itself. Maybe you've got a special power-up card that you just sneak a little bite. You already take one thing off the table, but that's kind of like a one-time theme. Yeah,
love that.
It's like you're just like jumping the gun. You're like, ooh, I'm just gonna have a little snack of this before it's actually feeding time. And then maybe you also have some sort of power-ups. Like feeding time should strictly be just picking up cards. And in the first round of it, maybe you want to go with the strategy that you see your opponents playing things that you know your shark will like, and instead of putting down more things, because feeding time doesn't technically start until there's 15 pieces on the board, instead mm-hmm. you're going to power up your shark for the feeding frenzy, and you're like, actually, I'm going to pass my turn. I'm not going to put anything down. I'm actually going to play this card, which gives me the ability to pick up 2 things when it comes to feeding time. So you do run the risk of, like, you don't get to control the charcuterie board as much as you the opponents can. But if you're weighing your odds, you're like, I already see some stuff on there. I'm going to not put something down. I'm going to actually take the opportunity to power up the feeding frenzy turn.
Love it. Love it. Because now I think we have 3 basic types of cards. You got your food cards. You got your augmenter cards, which can change the food. And then you got your shark power-up cards, like take a little nibble, or
you just take a little bite.
Take a little bite.
Yeah. But you can only play 1 card per turn.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Yeah. And so you do have to make those gambles.
I love it. I think, okay, now I think we've got, I think this is it. I think charcuterie is signed, sealed, delivered. Pack it up.
It's perfect. It's the best one we've come to date. Yeah.
All right. Who goes first?
Who goes first? So I think for when we come up with any of these rules for who goes first, there should be like an order of, you know, if there should be like an order of like hardest to like easiest, and we should like come up with like a checklist. At least that's how I sort of come up with these. And like, I like to think the person who goes first is the last person who fed a shark.
Oh, yeah. That's 100%. I like that. That is top tier.
Okay.
Going first. I think somewhere in there is if you bring a charcuterie board to the board game night, or to alongside this board game, then unless you are superseded by someone who has actually fed a shark, then you get to go first.
Okay. So then like everyone's just going to bring a charcuterie board.
Right, but
I mean, potentially, unless you fed a shark, then you know that you're going to go first.
Exactly.
Okay.
But again, you have to be to have proof, you have to be feeding the shark, holding that day's paper, and time stamped,
mm-hmm.
signed, sealed, delivered. You gotta have proof.
You gotta be shaking that shark's little fin.
Yeah.
We wanna see it.
If you have if you have shark mm-hmm. pictures, tweet them at PatchPotchRND. We'll use them in our development and for developing these shark cards.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, maybe one of them could end up being Shark Reuben. Who's to say?
Easy. If it's a cool shark, I don't know. Is Mark Cuban cool?
He's pretty cool, yeah. I think I like Mark Cuban. He's the owner of the Dallas Mavericks. And, you know, whenever they do their introduction of everyone on the show, they always say, like, what they're known for. And whenever they get to him, they're always like, he's an outspoken business mogul and owner of the Dallas Mavericks. And so they don't really, I honestly don't know what he does. I think he's just a philanthropist at this point, and he just kind of like prints money. But he's very good at what he does. And I think he is, he's one of the cool ones for sure.
Okay.
As cool as a billionaire can be.
I will take your word for it. Again, I admittedly have not watched Shark Tank, but... They are a pithy, no, that's not the right word. They're a good vein for this game that we've created.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We'll be bringing to you the Shark Tank soon, so be on the lookout for that.
Yeah, maybe if we can get them to get behind it and invest in it, then, I mean, heck, we can use any variant of their name. We could say that on the charcuterie board are the various products of Shark Tank.
Yeah, just as an additional cutie there,
then we can really get around the ivory tax and
that's right,
include it in multiple games.
Perfect. This seems like a really great partnership. I'll inform Miss Dunn of our latest business venture that we have to go on.
Someone call Mark Cuban and tell him he can be an investor in a board game with his name on it.
Absolutely. We'll get Patch Potch on that.
Sweet.
Cool stuff.
Well,
easy peasy.
Yeah.
Dunzo funzo.
Easy. Thank you all for listening to Miss Dunn Needs More Games. Again, I am Nick Bruno.
And I am DJ Bruno.
I don't know if we've ever actually done that as an outro. I just felt like it'd probably be a good time to remind people. But as always...
I like saying my name.
Yeah, I like saying it right at the end. Little reminder of who we are.
We'll change it up every now and then.
Perfect. Wait, our names or the outro?
Well, you'll just have to listen to the next episode to find out.
There we go. A little teaser for you. We are, or at least you could find our R&D program if you feel like joining, at PatchPotchRND. Again, just spell that out for you. It is PatchPotch. And for any other inquiries, we are also at patchpotchllc@gmail.com. I think that's it. You got anything else?
Nope, that's it over here. And just a final little warning to y'all. Keep those charcuterie boards safe and keep them close. That's not a good sign off. You want to try doing one?
Charcuterie. Cut it in. Cut it out.
Nice.
Perfect.